Water features are tough in Arizona. I will say, I don't know any that end up lasting very long. They get tired of maintenance. I mean, right here at this turnabout.
Fountains, particularly. Fountains are you know, water, you know, ponds, streams.
That makes a little more sense.
They're more self-contained, but fountains.
They end up garden planters.
I love what the pond gnome does.
Yeah.
Living ponds.
Oh, man.
Those balanced biological ecosystems that they build. And if you want a fountain, they have that pondless water feature that there's no pond visible. It's all buried underneath in a plastic cistern. So you have no standing water to worry about, and you just have the sound and the look of water rushing down a natural rock feature, and you, the sound is what I want. Mm-hmm. It's the sound of water. And the next best thing, if you want a little fountain type thing, they're pondless, and you take they do them out of a lot of features. One I have in my front yard is a ceramic feature. It looks like a ceramic pot turned upside down, and the water just trickles out of the top and it runs down the thing, and then it sits on top of a big plastic tub with a grate on top, and you put rocks or whatever over the top so you don't see any standing water. There's no splash. The water isn't going everywhere, and you just get that sound of that soothing white noise sound of some water going. But the Italian, big Italian fountains and stuff that you see are be prepared for some maintenance and work on those. They take some upkeep.
The little lions spitting in the water. Yeah. The little naked boys peeing in
right.
So you say all the time when somebody calls in about an avocado, and you're like, well, they don't really do good here, but I hate to say that because every time we say that, somebody calls in or we're talking about tulips or something like that. Well, we had somebody send in a banana tree picture this week that we had published an article, Things That Are Hard to Grow in the Desert, and says, well, I've been growing them for 30 years here in Phoenix. Mm-hmm. And he sent in a picture. And he had a couple takeaways from that.
Well, you know, it's close to the house, so it's somewhat protected. And, you know, bananas in particular, there's been bananas people growing. We had one at our Mesa location when we had that, a great big banana plant that produced edible bananas. But again, it was in a very protected spot from cold and from wind. If you look at the leaves on that banana tree, they're all shredded. You know, they're big old soft leaf, so they aesthetically don't always look very good because the wind just tears the heck out of them if they're in a windy spot. And they're super cold sensitive, so they've got to be in a protected spot, and then probably even then some years they're going to freeze back. Hard to grow is different than impossible. I mean, you can grow it.
It's only impossible at my address.
But we always tell people, you know, if they did really well here, they'd be all over the place. Mm. I mean, who wouldn't want a banana in their front yard? Or an avocado or a mango? I mean, they'd be everywhere. Doesn't mean you can't grow them. Just means it's probably not for the faint of heart to grow.
You got to have lots of time on your hand.
Yeah, or just the right spot. You know, what we call microclimates, little nooks or crannies around the house or next to other plants that they create those spots that are more humid, are more shady, are warmer, or, you know, whatever. You can sneak little things like bananas and tropical fruits and different things in there, and they'll work. But you have to know your microclimates and know how to manage them and know what you're looking to do.
I have found I can grow a pomegranate. I've got a pomegranate tree I've cut to the ground and poured, drilled quarter-inch drill bit holes into the trunk, saturated with stump killer, and it still grows.
It's meant to be there.
I don't think I'd eat the pomegranate.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I've tried to kill that tree 5 or 6 times. Man, it's as big as you are, Roby.
Quit fighting that one.
Well, we've got wrapping up here. We're right in our lawn transition time. Any
Yeah, so we, as we talked about earlier in the show, at the beginning of the show, it, especially with kind of more normal temperatures now coming back, you, you don't fight the fact that that ryegrass is wanting to kind of crap out. Don't start watering it more to keep it green. We want to cut the water down or leave it the same, mow that lawn short, dethatch it, get that ryegrass out of there so that that underlying hybrid or Bermuda grass can start to recover and get growing, because it will only stay dormant so long. And if you let that ryegrass go a whole lot longer, when it does finally die, and it will, you won't have any lawn left. You'll be stuck with either reseeding or letting it have to fill in from around the edges, and that can take a long time.
And you're off to Harper's Nursery on Hayden Road?
Hayden Road, just south of Thomas. Got new fresh flowers in, ready to go for that summer stuff.
And you're open till?
Till 4:30.
Sign up for the Rosie on the House weekly newsletter. It's filled with timely gardening and home improvement advice, as well as special offers and discounts you can't find anywhere else. That's rosieonthehouse.com.